Shogger, I asked everybody this question, so I'll ask you. Who is the Oilers of the four, Smith, Barry, Nugent, Hopkins, Larson, in your eyes, of the four, who is the most important free agent they have to sign?
Good question. I would probably put Nugent Hopkins fairly high on the list, because if they don't sign him, they don't need just one, but two people at that position. And I think they're just in real danger of overspending in free agency out of desperation. And they don't have players that can do that coming in the system that are going to be ready anytime soon. So I think if you don't get Nugent Hopkins done, you're at risk of overspending in free agency and making mistakes, because they will be they'll definitely be in a position of weakness hitting free agency with nobody to play left wing on any of their top three lines. So I would probably say there. Larson's pretty high on the list, though. I was reading your article today, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah, see, I have Larson for two reasons. Number one, there's no one in the organization that can even try. Ethan Bear, Evan Bouchard, if I'm going to ask them to play that role, I think you're putting them in a position to fail.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But more importantly, there's really, you're right, you might have to overpay. But at least there's some free agent options to replace Nugent Hopkins. There's really none to replace Larson, other than Travis Hamonic. He's the only one. And let's say you don't get him. Well, then what do you do? Where at least there's seven left wing options. They vary in potential good or bad, but at least, worst case scenario, sign Mike Hoffman for a year. You probably think, okay, this guy can score us 20 goals. We might not like him. He might not help us win, but in the playoffs, but we could sign him for 20 goals a season.
But let me ask you this, though. Why are you, when you were looking for defensemen to replace Larson, were you only looking at right shot guys? Because if you look, why wouldn't they just be able to put a real defensive stalwart on the left side behind Nurse? Open it up to a whole other side.
Yeah, but his partner, whoever it is going to, whether it's Bear, then I'm going to ask the right guy to have to play those minutes. And I don't think Evan Bouchard, because let's say I sign Jamie Oleksiak, for argument's sake, right? He's a big left defenseman to play that role. But he's still got to be paired with the right defenseman. And I just don't think that Bear or Bouchard, you're not putting them in the best position to have success if you're asking them to do that.
Well, listen, in a situation where they don't sign Adam Larson, right, then they've got no second-pairing left-shot D-man, and they got no second-pairing right-shot D-man, right? We would kind of agree to that.
Yeah, which is why I think he's the most valuable.
Yeah, but you could put the money into a really, into a defensive mind. You could, it doesn't have to be a right-shot defenseman that you replace Larson's game with. If you could get a more offensive guy on the right side, and then if there's better options on the left side for bigger shutdown-type guys. So I wouldn't just limit, I wouldn't say there's nobody to do what Larson does on the right side. I think you could bring in a left-shot guy so now really you're looking at any defenseman around the league that can play that style. It doesn't have to just be Hamonic over on the right, because then you could say, okay, well, let's make the right-shot guy maybe the more two-way or the more mobile puck mover or, whatever player you're looking for on Larson's left, right? Just find that guy over on the right to play with whoever you bring in. So I think it could be left or a right shot guy.
Yeah, outside of Jamie Oleksiak, I like Alex Martinez a lot, but I think Alex Martinez is probably costing you more than Adam Larson.
Yep.
Right? And, Nick Hjalmarsson, I think his best days are behind him to play that role.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Matt Niskanen, definitely Alex Edler. Obviously Dougie Hamilton, is a free agent right shot defenseman but he fits a totally, he's on a kind of a different player. Right?
Yep.
So I was kind of looking guys who I felt were similar to him. Yep. And Oleksiak's really Oleksiak and Hamonic are kind of the only two. Braden Coburn doesn't excite me, to do it. Dmitry Kulikov, I guess you could re-sign him in that spot, but now I don't value Kulikov as high as I do Larson.
Right.
Forbert's the other one. I should have said Derek Forbert. He probably is.
What about Savard? What about David Savard?
I think David Savard, I think he's a guy who signs in the East. He's played the East his whole life. It's kind of rare to see those guys.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you put him on the list of guys that you would consider.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Brendan Smith?
No.
A little bit older.
I think he's a third pairing defense.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Probably is a third pairing guy. Yeah. No, but your point is well taken. Like Adam Larson's, he's extremely valuable, and I think one of the things that has hampered Larson, like we always talk about the back injury with Larson, right? But then people say, well, I mean, he hasn't missed that much time. But I think there's been a lot of time over the last few seasons where Larson's been playing with a back injury, which is different than unavailable or out of the lineup due to a back injury. And so his overall play for the last, I don't know, few years, 2-3 years really, it's been really up and down. And this high level that we saw from him, I think the number of times where we've seen those long stretches of that quality of play is not that high, but I think it's because he's been playing through injury. I think it's something he's been dealing with for a while. So a healthy Adam Larson, as we saw this year, really, really valuable. But I do think it's fair to bring up in his case, you know, especially if you're considering giving him the 4-year deal, which based on your numbers, I think your numbers are close on a 4-year deal. I think the Oilers would love it to be under $4 million on a 4-year deal. But that fourth year might be that one where you kind of go, oof, for a guy who has had a history of not missing a bunch of time due to a back injury, but certainly dealing with one.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And Shogger, you watch Vegas last night basically just trip all over themselves, especially on the power play, and they've done this entire series. Like it was like watching it last night, it was almost comical at times at just how bad their power, because sometimes you'll see a power play that just isn't scoring but is creating a lot of chances and you're like, okay, eventually they're going to score. Like right now, Vegas just entering the zone seems like an accomplishment.
Yeah, there's just a lot going wrong kind of all over the ice. So you point to the power play and the misfires and having a hard time getting the zone, and certainly guys not handling it with the crispness that a high-end team normally would. I thought, like, defensively, the miscues were just, I mean, they were just kind of bizarre, you know? Like, you had Holden on the one goal where he wasn't coming back hard enough, kind of looked the wrong way, beat to the net on a play that should have been a play that favored him to knock that puck away, not in the right spot, right? And then we all saw Stone. I mean, that's their two-way heart and soul. That's the guy that is supposed to set the tone. And to make a play that bad, not just one, but two, the turnover, first of all, and then on the back check, holy smokes. So, yeah, their attention to detail in the little things that make a difference in a playoff series that's tight wasn't even close. I'm surprised they were as bad as they were. That surprises me. Not that they've been great all series long. I didn't think they could get that bad for a team this deep in the playoffs. So I don't know. Maybe it's a one-off that it would be that much of a stinker, but that was not good.
Do you think the Oilers and Larson will get a deal done before July 18th? And I use the 18th because I know free agency starts on the 28th, but I argue it starts on the 18th this year because Seattle, that's when their window opens up at 8 a.m. Edmonton time to start talking with free agents. And I've been told by many sources that Seattle plans on being very aggressive. They obviously have more cap space than any team out there. And their owners plan on using it. So, you know, do you think Edmonton and Larson, there's still lots of time in the grand scheme of things. Like, even if they don't sign till, you know, the 17th at midnight, who cares? As long as they get it done. Do you think they get a deal done before the 18th?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Oilers would probably like to, but I think it depends on how conservative the Oilers are going to try and be heading into this free agent season. If they look back at last year, at the tail end of free agency, and they look at some of the contracts that got handed out and think, boy, that's going to happen again, and so we need to keep our powder dry for when those great deals are sitting there to be had, then they're going to take a less aggressive approach in locking guys up, thinking that they're going to hit a market where there's going to be great deals to be found. And, you know, You would have thought they would have been able to figure out a deal with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins by now, and they haven't. Quite frankly, you would have thought they would have been able to figure out a deal with Adam Larson by now, and they haven't. So what's the common denominator here, right? Both guys that should be fairly easy just in terms of the logic that they would stick around, Neither of these deals are done yet. And so I just wonder if the team is taking a more conservative approach with spending their dollars. And that's why these deals aren't done yet. Now, that's not to say they're not going to get there in the 11th hour. Maybe they will. But so, you know, to answer your question, I think with Larson, they probably do. But it would seem to me like Ken Holland and his staff, they're taking a conservative approach to putting money on the table for their own free agents so far. And I'm not sure if that's going to change or not. Would you agree with that? Otherwise, these would be done.
Yeah, I'm kind of perplexed. Like, I know they've made multiple offers to Nugent Hopkins camp, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're just kind of mulling it over right now. And again, you know what? Maybe it's a little bit of game of cat and mouse because both sides know, well, we still have, in theory, right? He's 37 days. They still got 25 days before they can talk to Seattle. So maybe it's just like it is in the National Hockey League. Things just coming down to the wire. And for whatever they think, maybe we can squeeze a little bit more out of them. Maybe he'll take it less. You know, we'll see. But I wonder how much of that is in play here. Cause I do. You and I have talked about it. Like, I know the Oilers have made, you know, multiple different offers at different AAVs and different terms to Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, they've been at this for a long time. So, you know, have there been offers on the table and discussions? Of course there would be at this point. But just because you're making offers doesn't mean that it's going to get done. And just because you've made multiple offers doesn't mean that the other side has been difficult and is asking for too much. You can make all the offers you want. If they're not in the ballpark of where the player's value is perceived at by their camp, you can make offers till you're blue in the face. So just because you're putting offers on the table doesn't mean you're getting closer to a deal being done. It's about perception of value. So, you know, I think if you're Nugent Hopkins' camp, there's probably a certain point where you say, listen, we're on the precipice of free agency. You own the player's rights, so go ahead and make your best offer. But if it's not good enough, then we're happy to go to market. Now, the risk for Nugent Hopkins is you go to market and the market wasn't quite what you thought, or the options are in cities that you're not as excited to be at, and then you turn and circle back and your money's spent and gone and there's no option to stay, right? There's risk on both sides. But I guess I'd say just because offers are on the table doesn't mean that one side's being difficult and the other's just sitting there willing to deal. Right? If the offers are not in a range that the other side feels is within their value, it's not moving along.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 25 days or so, just under 4 weeks. Shager, have yourself a good Wednesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, take care, Paul.